This is Steve Sherlock with the Franklin Matters radio show, number 197 in the series for Franklin Matters, that we are now collaborating on with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. Frank Falvey, creator of two music programs for Franklin TV and Franklin Radio, sat with me recently at the Franklin studio. Frank had initiated the creation of two new handicapped parking spots at the Town Common. We sat to discuss how this came to be. Our conversation then stayed within the handicap and access realm to cover parking passes, parking penalties, and access downtown at the MBTA Franklin Dean Station. In the show notes, I do provide some links to answer some of the questions that were unanswered in our discussion online. The Mass Disability Placard Info link is available. The American Disabilities Act was first published in 1990 and updated recently. The MBTA meeting referenced that Jeff Roy facilitated was held on December 17th in 2019. And GATRA is effectively the Greater Attleboro Taunton Regional Authority. And the links and info are in the show notes. So without further ado, settle in and listen to Frank and I's conversation for about 35 minutes. Steve Sherlock here in the Franklin Studios with Frank Falvey. Frank, thank you for spending some time with me this afternoon.
You're entirely welcome. It's my pleasure to be here, Steve.
I know you were one of the instigators behind the introduction of the two handicapped parking spaces at the Town Common. So I know that they freshly got painted. In my walk by, I took some pictures. But since you were the instigator behind it, tell us, you know, at least some of that story and how that story came to be.
Well, first of all, I consider myself more an agitator. Than an instigator. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mother Jones. Mother Jones was a labor leader neither the business or the unions liked her, and I have the gift of the question, and always have. Mm-hmm. And Steve, as you know, one of the wonderful things that has been going on for a number of years now is that the town manager, town councilors, and even now Jeff Roy have a third Thursday, I believe, at the Senior Center.
Correct.
And they had this opening, and the new town manager was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, wow, this is a wonderful opportunity to go and do a Frank's Ramblings to the town manager.
Certainly. Yes.
And so I had an arm length of issues.
A list of items.
A list of items that I wanted to cover with them. And one of them, yes, was parking around the town common.
Sure.
And why it came to mind is first of all, when on July 4th, when we have the celebration,
4th of
on
July,
the
celebration.
4th of July
yep.
celebration, they seem to have they mark out a temporary parking, handicap parking spot. And they've always done that
mm-hmm.
in the fire department's been there. And even some years ago when they had the farmer's market,
yes.
For those Fridays.
Correct.
They have had in the past temporary handicap parking. Well, I was at a farmer's market, and I see this car driving around with a handicap sign,
mm-hmm.
Which he wasn't supposed to be driving around with it hanging, but they're looking for a parking spot, right?
Sure.
There's none to be had.
Yeah.
And the other thing is my wife has a handicap parking pass. So one of the issues I brought up is, why can't we have handicapped parking?
Yeah, valid question.
And, you know, when you ask a question, right, or you read about something, it always seems to go and you learn something else that you never knew.
It's not a simple story, which we'll certainly get into a little bit, because I'm sure you learned some things along the way. I certainly learned some things along the way.
Yeah. And so, first of all, we both want to encourage people to go to that Thursday open session.
Correct.
Meet with the people. Bring up whatever issue you want.
Right.
And that was part of it.
Yeah. So just on that point for the Thursday session, clearly that's focused at the senior center, generally for the seniors. So I totally understand that there are some other members of the population within Franklin that don't yet have their time. That's one of the things that is certainly under discussion, how to do that, whether electronically with some, whether it's a Twitter or whatever, something electronically in the social world to do that, as opposed to also just finding another time, another place for the population to do the meet and greet. Because the counselors, at least as you've seen, when they're there, they're approachable. They'll listen. They may not have an immediate answer. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. And then, lo and behold, the parking came through.
And the first thing that I learned is there are laws that limit where you can put a handicap parking spot.
Right.
And there are regulations that limit how many handicap parking spots you can have in a certain area.
Yeah.
Never knew that.
Yeah, that's one of the details buried in the overall, American Disabilities Act, ADA, which is the top-level law. And then I'm sure the state kind of took its thing, and Franklin obviously complies with the line of that. I know it's a frequent discussion, at least in – I don't spend enough time on the planning board, zoning board and stuff. But every time I do go for a proposal where there's parking – discussion, there's always the two key pieces: where are they going to put the snow and how much handicap parking is there.
There are
regulations, there are rules around it, and at least Franklin is looking to enforce those. So now we've got two more.
And I understand you were at the town council meeting where they had to pass a certain bylaw change in order to make this happen?
Yeah, in order to create in public space, they needed to change the parking regulations because the town has parking regulations. If you remember, at some point we had parking meters. The meters went away. There's still parking enforcement, but there's no meters. So there's a similar bylaw that covered the parking around the town common. So they needed to change that bylaw in order to accommodate the two spots that then went in. So the bylaw change process is somewhat involved. So if it's totally the town council issue, you still have the first reading, second hearing, and then the vote. Some cases, because based on the zoning bylaw, it may be a referral to the planning board, who does two hearings, makes their decision, and then refers it back to the town council to do their two pieces. Yeah. So there's a minimum, if it's going to go through planning board, of at least 5 meetings, the first one for the council, 2 for the planning board, the 2 back for the council. Or in some cases, it's just 2 for the council. But there are times, and it just doesn't snap your fingers and all of a sudden magically appear. There's a due process.
Right. Maybe we ought to tell them where the parking spots are.
Absolutely.
One is across from the Federated Church on, what is the name of
so
that?
It's effectively High Street.
High Street.
High Street. So it's the corner of High and Main.
Yeah.
On the High Street side.
Yeah.
And then at the end of High Street, where it joins with Union, the first spot at that Union Street side is also handicapped.
And not only do they have the printed on the pavement, it's handicapped, but they also erected 2 signs
they've got the silver poles with the handicap parking sign, into the sidewalk, so you can clearly see visibly above a car, so that if you were driving by, where do I park? Oh, right there. There's a parking sign.
So one of the things I'd like to say is if I can institute some change in the town of Franklin, you can too. If you see something, it might take a little time, you might learn a lot, but you can do it too.
It is possible, absolutely. Thanks for taking the initiative, and it's good to see that happening. So that's one of the reasons why, this is a good story. This needs to be part of Franklin Matters. We got to incent appropriate civic engagement, and this is perfect.
And continuing on that civic engagement, right, my wife happens to have a handicap parking thing that you put on the car.
Yeah, the, in the front. Rear view mirror. Yep.
Rear view mirror. There, yep. Right. Yep. You're not supposed to drive around with
obviously,
it on.
It could impact your vision while you're driving, so you may miss something. I mean,
there are various reasons that you are eligible to get this. One of the things I tried to get one, and because of my breathing, and I get short of breath, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I found out that I wasn't eligible. My okay. breathing was still so good,
okay.
right?
Yep.
But what really concerned me was that it was like if I was 0.1, I could under 0.1, I could get a handicap pass.
You qualified within the range.
If I right. was below 0.8, they would take my license away.
Oh, yeah, it was a small borderline there. Where...
Very narrow. So I didn't want, I'll never apply again. Because the registry, they're also interested in taking driver's license away.
Well, they're interested in enforcing appropriate physical condition of drivers. So,
right.
yeah.
The
Talk
other
to your
thing
doctor,
is,
I think, is the recommendation. Make sure you agree with your doctor before you apply.
Make sure you want to apply. The other thing is these handicap things expire.
Yes.
There is a date on them that, again, you have to be recertified that you still have that same physical condition.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yeah.
And apparently, when my wife's one was issued, her picture is on it.
Okay.
But lately, I have noticed an overwhelming number of handicap passes that now the picture, they have it covered. Some people have taken a white tape or whatever, mm-hmm. and it you now can't see it, which somewhat bothers me because now you're never going to know who this really belongs to mm-hmm. for enforcement.
Right. From an enforcement perspective, I agree, and I'm not as familiar with the Mass one, so we'll have to do some research. My mother-in-law does have a Rhode Island one, so I am familiar with the renewal, et cetera, and theirs, for whatever reason, don't include the photo of the individual on it. That may be a privacy information protection type thing. I don't know,
yeah.
but worth looking at.
On the back of this parking thing,
yeah.
card, it says it's non-transferable.
Correct.
And then it has a warning, right? Wrongful use by any other person may result in revocation of placard and or $500 fine and 30-day loss of license for first offense. That's a pretty stiff penalty.
Yeah, $500 from the get-go, that's for a first-time offense. That's
and loss
high.
Of license?
Potential. It says, it certainly threatens that. It'd be interesting to see if they have stats as to how many actually do lose their license on the first one.
What's the penalty for a normal person without this sticker to park in a handicapped spot?
Oh, good question.
$125.
Ooh, so that's a cheaper option.
Yeah, it's a cheaper option. I mean, if you don't have one of these, and you have the $125, you're at, you know, Patriot football place, or you're at the Big E, or you're at some place that parking, you got to park a mile away, right?
Sure.
You got a long walk.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? Take the chance, park. It's only $125. I mean, it doesn't seem in my mind to be an equal penalty compared to a person
yeah.
that somehow has abused the parking thing.
Yeah, particularly from a convenience factor. And again, $125 versus now you've taken a legitimate spot from somebody else who truly needs it.
Yeah.
That may not be a sufficient penalty. That would be something to raise to our legislation and legislators and see if they can address it.
Well, while I was at unloading.
While you were unloading.
Unloading.
Continue
to the new
so.
Town manager, right? I said to him, downtown Franklin, Dean Station, Franklin Dean Yes. Amtrak station, commuter rail station, right?
Right.
There's, I think, two handicap parking spots, right?
I think there's more than two.
Maybe more than two. But someone that is truly in a wheelchair or handicapped in the sense that they can't lift their legs to walk up the stairs on the train, there's no way they can get on the train.
Yeah, not from Dean Station. You can get on from the Forge Park Station or the Norfolk Station because they do have those high bay platforms, I think the term is. And clearly, as I think we are familiar with the Franklin Line, there are some platforms, and I think it's primarily Ruggles, Back Bay, South Station that are totally high bay stations as opposed to walking from the ground up through the stairway. And then other stations like Norfolk, we mentioned, Norwood Central, I believe. There's portions of them, but there are still open stairways for a good portion of the platform.
In the new rail line that they built that goes to Hingham,
the South Shore rail line.
All new, all handicapped accessible, and all platforms so that you can just walk into the train. But I imagine that the ADA law has got to be 40, 50 years old.
Probably.
And the MBTA, over that period of time, has never thought it a priority to address this particular problem of commuters. And it actually, I understand, if there were platforms, right, high platforms, it would save 2 to 3 minutes a station stop that would get you to South Station earlier. So if there is five places that don't have high platforms, right, that could be 10 minutes earlier that you get to South Station or from South Station back to Forge Park. Or
10 minutes longer commute as opposed to a shorter commute, whichever way you look at it.
Other thing I'm saying to Jamie Helen, I'm pronouncing it right, the town manager?
Yes, town administrator.
Town administrator. Yep. The condition of that station is terrible.
Yeah, it's long been a conversation with, I know, between town officials, MBTA, Conrail is somewhat involved, I think because of the yard at the corner of Union, what they call the crossing area. There's been ongoing discussions that I'm aware of.
Well, our town administrator wrote a letter to the Secretary Stephen Pollock, Massachusetts Department of Transportation, this is, if I could, I'd like to read the letter.
Yeah, was that Stephanie Pollock?
Yes, I'm sorry. Stephanie Pollock and General Manager Steve
Poftak.
All right. I'm writing in regards to the Dean College Downtown Franklin Commuter Rail train station here in Franklin. I hope you both will take these comments seriously and begin to work with the town on how to address the crumbling infrastructure and lack of ADA accessibility at the station. Over many years now, this station has been slowly deteriorating and is now causing some serious safety concerns. The stairs from Main Street to the station are crumbling. The parking lot, see enclosed images. There's 25 pictures that he sent along with this letter about the crumbling station. There is also an underutilized structure on the property. On top of the deterioration, there is no ADA accessibility for those who need it. We respect the fact that it will take significant resources to repair the station, but also believe a conversation needs to begin on what repairs to happen in order to get the state to make improvements to the station. Town officials have had many conversations and visits from state officials in the T in the past, but little follow-up occurs and no action is taken. We are hoping this letter serves as a springboard to further discussions on how to improve the station. Your assistance in beginning a conversation on how to remedy this matter would be greatly appreciated. in support of that letter, Dean Bank, Dean College, and a number of other individuals and companies have written letters of support.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's inconceivable that people are not being considered, that are disabled over the time frame.
Right.
That this is a problem that people feel they can push aside,
mm-hmm.
not even address, just come out and have nothing happen.
Right.
Because it's about money.
Certainly budget and prioritization, and yeah.
Because if they spend more than 25% of the value of the property, then they have to make it handy ADA accessibility.
Correct.
But I see a flaw in the law that Congress should absolutely address. Public transportation needs to have total accessibility. And when it's so obvious,
mm-hmm.
okay, that this is not being addressed, I think one of the nice questions to ask Senator Markey, Mr. Kennedy running for a seat, and mm-hmm. the lady that's running, and our congressman, our future congressman for this district.
Sure.
Why isn't the law changed over all these times? This is a flagrant throw in your face. We don't care about you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We don't care about Franklin. We don't care about the rumbling deterioration of this area. I mean, it's incredible that public officials today, okay, absolutely just don't care. One of my, I'm an old guy, right?
Right.
I drive 495, 295. I drive highways. It's Massachusetts, right? As an old guy, I probably know where every single restroom is because I need to visit them pretty often.
Sure.
Do you know, on state highways, there is either no restrooms, there are porta-johns, or the restroom that might be open is so dilapidated and deteriorating, mm-hmm. it's an obstacle and terrible.
Sure.
We're not addressing
no.
the needs, ordinary needs of individuals anymore, are we?
Right, no.
What's your assessment of the downtown station?
The downtown station, as a commuter, and for many years living here in Franklin, I commuted regularly into Boston, so I was going through that twice a day at least. The station certainly has some improvements that are needed. I know, based on the letter and the discussions, there have been some discussions, unfortunately, with dealing with a state, they just haven't been successful yet. So hopefully we'll be able to generate enough of the will of the powers to be to, you know, finally come to a decision. Something does need to be done. The question is when and how much and who's going to pay. But, you know, we got to make a decision. Can't just keep kicking and missing.
Yeah, and it's not also not only the state. It is the
MBTA.
The administrators of the Amtrak and their priority of where they're putting the money,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Right.
And that area could conceivably lead to real economic development in Franklin if the whole package of the Acapulco restaurant is now moving
that block. Sure.
Would
be a key spot for redevelopment potentially. I know there's been talk of a development that would even include, you know, enhanced parking, as in a parking garage. So you'd have improved business and retail space, a parking garage to improve the access, because even downtown parking, I know when I first started parking down there, if you didn't get in there for the first train, you didn't get in, you didn't get parking spaces. They were, you know, very quickly gone. I think that's changed after 2008. I know more recently I've been able to get in there on later trains, although it's still fairly tight, but also Forge Park is available. So Franklin at least has two places without even getting into, you know, some people who live closer to Norfolk Station can park there.
Yeah.
Still get the line to go to Boston. So
I understand that the MBTA recently did have a hearing in Franklin, But my understanding is most of that hearing was around the slow on-time schedule of the Franklin commuter rail. I understand it probably has the worst on-time record than any other commuter rail in the area. I'm not sure what the percentage is.
In my understanding, that was particularly aggravated by the introduction of the Patriot Pilot or the Foxborough Pilot. So Foxborough, which always had kind of the Patriot train, started getting a regular service. An introduction of that service, which shares the Franklin line to a portion of it, they've got some growing pains at a plus side. They've got some growing pains to work out the schedule kinks. But as a result of that, clearly anybody that's been on the train has seen delays. And I think it was specifically from the schedule change in October, if I recall correctly. So October, November, and I think the meeting was in December. So in those last 2 months, it was the worst performance across the T in commuter rail. Hopefully they'll continue to make improvements, but we're also at wintertime. That adds some complexity because of the major issue, from I know, of commuting. Their engine fleet is lacking in reliability, never mind the number of cars on a particular train is sometimes short. So if you're supposed to have a 6-car train and you only got 4, you get to know your neighbors rather well for the long ride into Boston.
And actually, you've seen people standing for a good part of that ride, haven't you?
Yeah. In some cases, by the time you get to Norwood, in some cases, you're in Walpole. And then from Walpole, we're just, running through because it's already standing room only, depending upon what trains have already missed and people have congregated on the platforms and waited to get on a train. Yeah, and then coming out of South Station, once the train's loaded, it takes a while to offload as it hits the various stops.
The other thing there's a thing called a double track that Franklin used to have.
All the way into South Station.
All the way into South Station.
Yep.
But I gather they can't really have a double track through Franklin because of the station in Franklin?
That's what I heard recently. I haven't had a chance to follow up on that, but I do know that they do have the double track at least through sections of Norfolk, so they are continuing to work on it. There have been significant schedule changes, particularly on the weekends. So many folks, you can't even ride the train on the weekend. It's shuttle buses from each of the stations to Reedville, I believe, or to Ruggles, which is, at that point you might as well, you're already in Boston. So for two reasons, one, to continue the construction of the double track. And then the other major project is what they call PTC or the positive train control. Exactly what that's going to do, I haven't really fully understood. I assume it's going to help them know specifically where the train is so that the alerts and the schedule pieces. So right now, as you may be aware, the train can be late, but you get the alert after you know the train is 15 minutes late, which doesn't necessarily help you. But if they had this PTS supposedly integrated, then they would know when the train is at any point, and thereby if it's supposed to be here and it's not, they would be able to generate the alert that the train is already running late.
Yeah.
So those two projects, I know at this point, the latest, the T has said is through March, there's weekend shuttle service, so there's no train on the weekends. The train schedule on the weekend is not good anyway because it's like every couple of hours. Generally, there's less traffic anyway. So
that's why a speaker that I recently heard had a difficulty getting to Franklin on a Sunday is because you're saying they're shuttle?
Well, there's a shuttle bus specifically on the weekends, but even if they were using the train, you'd have to leave at either like 6:30 or 8:30 to get to Franklin for, say, 8:30 would get you here just about for 10. Yeah. 6:30 would give you some leeway. But right now, at least through March, from what I understand, there's shuttle buses. There's no train service on the weekends.
And the other thing is I guess both Forge Park and downtown have some coffee and newspaper You can buy your tickets there. Is that right? At Penn Station, or only
tickets
one?
Are not available. That's a unique piece because they at one point when they when there was a prior operator of the downtown station, tickets were available. Then it had been closed for a while. Now, Rail Good Coffee, if I recall correctly, is the operator currently, and they're not allowed to sell tickets. So all the tickets are on the apps or from the conductors on the train.
Even in Forge Park?
I don't know. I think that's a separate operator. I'm not positive.
Yeah.
And I don't frequent at Forge Park, so I can't say from experience. But I know downtown station, there's no tickets there. You get good coffee, and you can get some, you know, snacks, and Danish or muffins or whatever before you board the train. Now, that's only, I think, from 5:30 or 6 to 8.
Yeah, it's a limited
Time.
That time could be extended, possibly, and still serve quite a few people.
They originally had it till 9, and apparently they weren't seeing enough service, so they cut back. Which I understand from a business perspective. You know, if you're only going to get one or two customers for the hour, then obviously the customers who could have been served aren't, but it's not enough customer service in order to afford, you know, being open for some time.
Talking also about the train, I have a GATRA card. GATRA is a service for
Greater Attleboro Transit, Regional Transit or something, I think.
Right.
An acronym for that.
And there is a card for seniors, and there is actually a transportation schedule throughout the town of Franklin.
Yes,
that there are regular bus routes.
Yes,
okay.
It's one of the hidden things that people may see the bus, but they don't realize that you can actually flag the bus if you're on the route.
Right.
And
you can flag it, and it's not just for seniors. Anybody.
It's like a buck and a quarter or something like that.
Yeah, very reasonable, reasonable.
Yeah.
But if you're a senior and you have that GATRA card, you can get a senior rate on the train.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's half price on the train.
It's half price on the train,
right.
Which really is a significant difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I benefited from that recently, and even the app. So there's a mobile app on your phone. If you buy it through that, you can buy the senior ticket, and it does alert you that the conductor may challenge you, so have a license ID, et cetera, which is fair.
Yeah.
Because if the conductor challenged me, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm senior age. You can see. I qualify. So, yeah, it is significant.
It is. So there's, in Franklin, there are many different transportation options that exist, but the thing is to improve the accessibility and to improve how those options are implemented. In the springtime, there is a review of the bus route, and so you can have input into where that bus should be going
and
what the actual route is. And if you go through the senior center, I'm sure they will tell you how to put input in that.
Okay. Yeah.
Steve, what's the best way for people that are listening to this program to give input either directly about the train or the town or even on your website?
Yeah, on the website, I've got my email listed there. So at franklinmatters.org. My email address is listed on the front page, SureSteve, so SHERSTEVE, at gmail.com. One of the things I've been in discussion with, there will probably be some sort of a form. So ask a question, get an answer. Not that I will provide all the answers. I'll be able to go solicit the appropriate individual to answer the question. So I'll generate some sort of a form over time, hopefully sooner than later. So that'll be an additional option. But right now, email, the email address is on franklinmatters.org.
Yeah, and I'm sure you probably can either email or call this radio station. And when is the program on, Steve?
The new schedule, I think, just got published. If I recall, we first occur at 11 o'clock on Wednesdays for the Franklin Matters Radio. I forget what the replay is. It just came out, so I don't have that memorized yet.
we'll get that on a future.
Well, it's also been posted to Franklin Matters, and certainly it's part of the program guide on franklin.tv or WFPR.fm. So you can go to a couple of places to get it. Yes. Yeah. Well, thank you, Frank, for spending some time today. It's been a good conversation. The time has gone quickly, and we've got more to do, so I'm sure we'll come back on Franklin Matters Radio. Thank you.
I appreciate, Steve, you having me here. It's always a pleasure to work with the Access Studio. I've had a TV show now since about 1985. Used to be on the local Access board. And so both this radio station and the TV station is near and dear to my heart, and it can be near and dear to the listener out there. Come down, have a program like Steve is doing, have a program like I have, two music programs, have a TV show. Come down and become a part of Franklin Matters in this area. I would really encourage people to particularly meet with Pete, the head executive director here. He is a wonderful, wonderful teacher and technician and administrator of this cable access network.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And if you don't want to, even if you're not sure you want to get into a show, just come in and visit. We'll give you a tour because it is a wonderful studio that is ours. It's a community access, cable access here that it's open to all the Franklin public. So. Thank you again.
Thank you.
We'll close off until next time.
This podcast or radio show is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you can't use it, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.